जयं विशुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान अभय चरणारविंद भक्तिवेदांत गोस्वामी महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की जयं नितिलीला प्रविष्ट विष्णुपाद परमहंस परिव्राजकाचार्य अष्टोत्तरशत श्री श्रीमान भक्त सिद्धांत सरस्वती महाराज श्रील प्रभुपाद की आनंदकोटि वैष्णव वृंद की नमाचार्य श्रील हरिदास ठाकुर की प्रेम सहो श्री कृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानंद श्री अद्वैत गदाधार श्रीवासादि गौर भक्त वृंद की श्री श्री राधा कृष्ण गोप गोविनाथ श्यामकुंड राधाकुंड गिरिगोवर्धन की वृंदावन धाम की मायापुर धाम की मधुरपुरी धाम की जगन्नाथपुरी धाम की द्वारकापुरी धाम की गंगा माई की यमुना माई की तुलसी देवी की भक्ति देवी के सामवेद भक्त वृंद की गौर प्रेमानंदी ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू असेंबल डिवोटीज ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्री श्री गुरु एंड श्री गौरंग ऑल ग्लोरियस टू श्रील प्रभुपाद नमो विष्णुपदाय कृष्ण प्रस्थाय भूतले श्रीमदे भक्तिवेदांत स्वामी इति नाम्नि नमस्ते सरस्वती देवे गौरवाणी प्रचारिणी निर्विशेष शून्यवादी पाश्चात्य देशधारिणी ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय ओम पार्थाय प्रतिबोधिदां भगवदां नारायणेन स्वयं व्यासेन ग्रथितां पुराण मुनिनां मध्ये महाभारतं अद्वैतामृतवर्षिणी भगवती अष्टादशाध्यायिनी अम्बत्वामनुसन्दनामि भगवद्गीते भवद्वेषिणी नमोस्तुते व्यासविशालबुद्धे फुल्लारविन्दायुधपत्रनेत्र येन त्वया भारततैलपूर्ण प्रज्वालितो ज्ञानमय प्रदीप प्रपन्नपारिजाताय त्वत्रवेत्रैकबाणये ज्ञानमुद्राय कृष्णाय गीतामृतदुहे नमः सर्वोपनिषदो गावो दुग्धा गोपालनन्दना पार्थो वत्ससुधीर्भोक्ता दुग्धं गीतामृतं महद् वसुदेवसुतं देवं कंसचाणूरमर्दनं देवकी परमानन्दं कृष्णं वन्दे जगद्गुरुं भीष्मद्रोणतटाजेद्रतजलाकान्धारनीलोत्पला शल्यग्राहवती कृपेण वहनी कर्णेन वेलाकुला अश्वत्थामा विकर्णघोरमकरा दुर्योधनावर्तिनी सोतीर्ण खलु पांडवैरण नदी कैवर्तक केशव पाराशर्यवज सरोजमलम गीतार्थगंधोत्कटम नानाख्यानक केसरम हरिकथा संबोधनाबोधितम लोके सज्जन शल्पदेरहर पेबीयमान मुदा भूयात् भारत पंकज कलिमल प्रध्वंसिन श्रेयसे मुखम करोति वाचालम पंगम लंघयते गिरिम यत्कृपातमहं वंदे परमानंद माधवम यम ब्रह्मा वरुणेन्द्र रुद्रमरुदस्त्वन्वन्दि दिव्यैस्तवैर् वेदैः साङ्गपदैः क्रमोपनिषदैर्गायन्तीयं सामगाः ध्यानावस्थितद्गतेन मनसा पश्यन्तीयं योगिनो यस्यान्तं न विदुःसुरासुरगणैः देवाय तस्मै नमः सर्वत्र गोविन्दनाम सङ्कीर्तनं गोविन्द गोविन्द सात्विक राजस तामसम कृष्ण स्पोक अबाउट दी ज्ञानम कर्मम कर्ता बुद्धि धृति नाउ सुखम दुखम ऑल ऑफ दम अंडर थ्री मोड्स हाउ दे वर्क राइट सो वी वर टॉकिंग अबाउट सुखम दैट वाज द लास्ट थिंग वी डिस्कस्ड एंड कृष्ण सेड द सुखम ऑल्सो हैज गॉट थ्री फॉर्म्स into three ways the sukham comes in life. So, Krishna's point was that by regular, he says, abhyasat parijayat avrte ramade radim pradipadide yatra yasmin sukhanubhave dukhantam cha dukhavasanam dukho upashamam nigachadi nischayena atnodi. In other words, by regular practice, what ultimately gives you happiness and it takes the distress from us away, that Krishna is saying, that's the one he is going to talk about now. That, let's understand that, right? So we were saying that Rishabhadev said this to his children, isn't it? Nayam deho dehava chandra loge kashtan kamanam kade vidbujamye tabo divyam putraga yena sattam shuddhye dasmal brahma sokhyam dhanandam. That's sukham. Brahma sokhyam. Brahma sukham. It is called brahma sukham. Brahma sokhyam dhanandam. Right? And then he said, mahal sevayam dwaram ahur vimukte tamo dwaram yoshidam sangi sangam mahandaste samachitta prashanda vimanyiva sukhrita sathoye. Second verse in the Krishupavadesham, Krishupadesha's teachings, right? So, he said there, through tapas, austerities, this sattugunam has to increase inside us, right? And that will lead into sukham. Sattugunam leads into sukham. And that is possible through human life. And that is what Abhyasa Dremate Yatra, Krishna is saying there, in that third line, verse 36. He says, through Abhyasam it is possible to increase the Sattuguna. Abhyasa Dremate Yatra. Dukhandam Chanigachari. So, that is a process Krishna is expecting people to follow through. We can only do here now about all these things, because to practice it, all this has to begin from an early age in life. At the very later stages, it's very difficult. But at least we understand what that means, right? So, through Abhyasam Vairagyam, able to control the mind and practice the knowledge of the self, and it is possible to block the distress in life, to stop the distress in life, right? And that is, this abhyasam should lead into what Krishna is saying in the second chapter. That at the end of life at least, esham ramistiri partha nainam prapya vimukhyadi stitvasyam andakalebi brahma nirvanam marchadi. At least by the time you leave the body, you should come to this state. That is the Krishna's point. So that means spiritual life is a very, very responsible thing. One has to start from an early life, and by constant practicing, that has to come to this stage, right? So this esham brahmi sthiti, this brahmi sthiti partha nainam prapya vimukhyati stitvasyam andakalebi brahma nirvanam rachyati. That's where we were talking last time. So this, that is that, sthidapratnyatvam leads into this stage. If you become sthidapratnya, then this is what will happen, right? And if good shandi has come inside, and your training, abhyasam, has been good, and what is the benefit? At the old age, when you leave the body, even if your senses are not very strong, and the mind is also not able to absorb properly, and even the body has gone, body, mind and all the senses, even if they are not very in a good shape, right, but dhyana sukham will be there, dhyana sukham. That means it has affected you so much in life that it has overpowered body, mind and the senses. That means body, mind and senses is not controlling you anymore. Rather, this abhyasam, through which you have acquired the strength of spiritual life, that controls you, right? And it is for that purpose we were talking about Bhishma's situation, right? He was in a very difficult situation with his lying on the bed of arrows, and was able to speak what he spoke at that time is an indication that he was completely free from the body. That sthidapratnyatvam has come to him. And if we look into Bhishma Stuti at the end of the ninth chapter, Suda Goswami mentions this about Bhishma. What did he say? He said, Krishna evam bhagavati manova drishti vrittibhi. This is the 43rd verse in the ninth chapter, first canto. Krishna evam bhagavati manova drishti vrittibhi almanya alpanam aveshya sonda shvasam uparamal almanya alpanam aveshya Sondashvasam Uparamal, that his last breath when he was leaving Almani, Alpanam Aveshya, he was completely fixed one with the Brahman. Brahman realization was complete in him, and that is in the next line again he is saying there, sambadhyamanam ajnaya bhishmam brahmani nishkale, and that is this state, what Krishna is talking about, that sambadhyamanam ajnaya bhishmam brahmani nishkale sarve bhavoste tushnim vayam sivadinatyaye. So, nishkala brahmam, in that sambadhyamana, sambadhyamana means Bhishma was established in that nishkala brahmam, right? And in other words, he was in the Brahmi city. He was in the Brahmi city, right? So, you remember that he is lying on the bed of arrows, but he was in the Brahmi city. Even while he was lying on the bed of arrows, right? So, this is a hope for everybody that it is possible that due to our prarabdham, we don't know what will happen at the time of death, how the end will be of our life here, right? Possibly, it may happen or may not happen. We don't know about it, what will happen at that time. Physically, you may be very disabled, unable to do anything physically, right? But even then, if this knowledge is inside, it will bring shanti at that time. You won't be affected by that. The shanti will be there. That's what, complete shanti will be there, and sukham will be there, happiness from that. So how is it possible? There is no possible, by magic it won't happen, right? We have to use everything what we have got now in our hands, right? And that is where that willpower comes. Pavirusham, we were talking about it, dhriti, we spoke about before. The power of Pavirusham, that is, right? So, it is that Pavirusham within us, what we have got, and that is what turns into pranan, and it is time, it is subhavam, all these different ways it is spoken, right? So, through your surrender to Krishna, surrender to the spiritual master, to the guru, and through the knowledge of the shastram, and by practicing it, sadhana, through sadhana process, gradually, under the control of time, in following that, to whatever extent possible, one should try to get to this stage, to the extent possible. Everyone may not succeed in this. Bhishma was a perfect soul. He reached that state. That is why this example of Bhishma. Bhishma lying on the bed of arrows, but not touched by the bodies or the mind or anything. Brahmani nishkale is saying here, isn't it? That is the same Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. Brahmani nishkale means Esham Brahmi Siddhi Partha. Naivam Prapya Mukhari Stitthuswal Andagalebi Brahmanurvana Murchari. So this Bhishma's case is a perfection. But even if we don't make that far, using our willpower, if you practice this knowledge, then to the extent what you have can make it through your willpower, right? And then you died. You have reached a certain stage and then you left the body. What Krishna is saying, Nahi Kalyana Krat Kaschet Durgadim Thadagachari. He is not going to go down, he is only going to go up. You may not get liberated in this life, but you are not going to go down in life, in the next life, right? So, either possibility is that you may go and accept a body in another place, better than now, what you are having here, right? And it need not be in this planet. Souls have many planes of planes where it can accept the bodies. In different planes it can accept the body, right? So it need not be in this earthly planet in a human form, but you can be in higher planets, right? Or some planets where the non-material living standard, on a spiritually, on a higher plane, you can enter into that, right? One thing is guaranteed, you won't go down, you will only go up, right? So, most probably your next stage of existence will be on a higher plane. Next stage of existence will be on a higher plane, right? In other words, what Krishna is saying, that there is nothing to be frightened about. By following this, you are not a loser. That's what Krishna is saying. That's why that verse is important. Yasham Brahmistiti Partha Devam Prapi Vimukhyadi Stitusyal Andakalevi Brahmanurvanam Rachadi. So point is, Krishna's point is that you are not a loser. Even if you are not perfected in this life, by the time you leave the body, if you have elevated yourself to a higher level of this knowledge, of this consciousness, then the possibility is that you will go for higher planets and accept a body in some higher levels, in higher level of existence, higher consciousness, right? What he is saying is, even if you get a few mark here, you will still be promoted. You're not going to lose anything. You don't have to think that, oh, I didn't make it, so I'm going to come back. No, it won't happen that way. Krishna's guarantee there, right? You'll go into a higher plane of existence, right? So that is why sadhana is important. If sadhana is more intense, if you succeed in doing it very well, then the result will be that you will not come back. You will only go up further from here, right? So that is what that verse is hinting at. This verse is hinting at, right? So more the sadhana, adhyalpa sadhana, one who is very sincerely executing that sadhana, very strongly, such a person, he won't come into this mandalam, bhumandalam. In other words, this level, human existence. You will only go up into higher levels, right? Tadasarge sarveshu logeshu virasaya kalpade, Upanishad says, right? So, even if you have not succeeded in Brahman realization, Brahmajnanam, if that has not happened, you can get a body in a higher mandalam. There are different levels of existence. Different levels of existence. Human existence is one level in human body like this. But there are other planes of existence as well, right? And you could experience that life there and then go up from there, right? There is nothing to lose. That is what he is saying there. So, so he is saying here, Abhyasad Ramate Yatra Dukkha Andam Cha Nigachadi. Dukkha Andam Cha Nigachadi. So what we want is an end of distress. No more further distress. Right? So look at the next words. Yatadagre Parivishamiva Pariname Amurdopamam Tal Sukham Satyam Proktam Altmabuddhi Prasadajam. Altmabuddhi Prasadajam, Krishna says. Right? The difficulty with Satya Sukham is this, that you don't like it, in the beginning especially, when you have to do it. It's a beginning itself is a problem, right? For example, controlling the mind, controlling the senses, nobody likes it, right? So, the benefit is that if you are able to do it, then over a period of time, you will feel a refreshed situation. Feel refreshed inside, right? Intelligence also will start working better. For example, to tell people to wake up early in the morning, they find it so hard, isn't it? Why is that? Because this problem, that it brings you sattugunam inside. Still people not able to taste it. Because they're not aware of that. That is, waking up in the morning brings sattugunam in a person and they are not able to come to terms with it. That's the problem, right? So you tell children to wake up early in the morning, go to the temple, bathe in the morning, all these things. They will curse the parents. They'll say, why are you waking me up now? I'd like to sleep a little more. And that is not satyam. That's not satyam. That is tamasam it is, right? So they will argue with you, all other children are sleeping, why you're waking me up unnecessarily in that way, right? So it may feel for the children as though you are deliberately giving them trouble, right? So that is what he is saying here, etad agre vishamiva. In the beginning it is visham, it is poison, right? And if you forcefully if you force them, good things on them, in the beginning it will appear as though it's poison for them. They will feel it as though you are imposing on them and poisoning them. The one thing we have to remember is that all these things, only at a certain stage you can do it. After that you should not do it. Why? Because they will turn against you. Children, that after a certain age you can say these things. After that, if they are not listening, just leave them to their prarabdham. You can't worry about it anymore. Right? But if you have told them these things, and if they have felt the benefit, what will happen is that after some time they will appreciate that, what you have done for them. That you have given them a training like that, to wake up early in the morning, and to be awake during the Brahma Muhurtam, and do whatever sadhana, what they can do. They will be grateful for that, right? And even though they may feel objectionable now, later on they will feel the benefit from that, right? Whereas instead of doing that, if you encourage them in their sense gratification and provide them all their sense gratification, then they will curse you when they grow up. They will curse you when they grow up, right? Outwardly, at this moment, they may be happy with what you have given them, but their Andaryami will curse you. Andaryami of the children will curse you, right? Because every jiva, when they come to this world, what he is looking for is a way to escape from this. Because after going through so many wombs of different species, when the jiva comes here, jiva is miserable, a lot of misery it has experienced, and it is thinking, is there a way out from this, of this kind of cycle of birth and death, right? So with that expectation, the jiva is coming to this world. All this is discussed in Brahma Sutra. Vedavyasa Maharshi discusses these things, right? How a jiva comes to this world, and what is jiva carrying at that time, what the jiva is thinking, right? And after the 10 months stay inside the womb of the mother, when it comes out, all it wants is to get out of this cycle, right? So it is looking for a chance of way to escape from here. So it is for that jiva you are doing all these things, a jiva who comes with this state of mind, right? So initially it may be difficult, but so that is what he is saying here. Yattat sukham agre prathama sannipate jnana vairagya samadhyarambhe atyanda ayasa purvagatvat visham iva dukhalmagam bhavati pariname jnana vairagyadi parinamajam sukham amrudopamam. This is the nature of Satya Sukham. Satya Sukham, Ajari Swamiji is talking about it. He says, Jnanam, Vairagyam, Samadhi, all these things, all of them, in the beginning, it is like poison. Nobody wants it in the beginning, right? But when it ends up in Jnanam, Vairagyam, Samadhi, it is like nectar at the end. So, Tal Sukham, Satyam, Proktam. Such a sukham, which is, vidvalbhi, altmano buddhihi, altma buddhihi, altma buddhe prasado nairmalyam, salilavat svachada tato jatam, altma buddhi prasadajam, says, Krishna says, altma buddhi prasadajam, altma vidyayava, altma lambanava buddhihi, altma buddhihi, tal prasada prakrashalva jatam, iti edat tasmat satyam tat. In other words, this happiness, what comes from Sattvagunam, comes from mind and the buddhi. That is where the change happens. Mind and the buddhi, Atma Buddhi Prasadajam is saying here, isn't it? So, that means this happiness is coming from the knowledge of the self, Adhyatma Vidya, and the, from Adhyatma Vidya and Atma Jnanam, knowledge of the self. It is that Sukham that comes from self-realization. Self-realization means even in the process of self-realization. From this knowledge of the self, the mind and intelligence becoming affected by that, by the knowledge of the self. Spiritual knowledge influencing the mind and the intelligence, and the result of that is satyam. That sukham what you get from that is satyam. The sukham, that you get from knowledge of the self. There is a sukham in that. When the mind and the intelligence deriving a happiness from that, that is satyugam, he says here. So, so in the beginning it is poison. It's not very enjoyable because it is related to the soul, right? The knowledge of the shastram itself is not so easy to penetrate inside, right? People are saying meditation, yoga, this, that, other things, right? But shastra jnanam is not there. They will go and do things. Like you can see so many meditation programs going on. So many yoga practices are going on. But there is no spiritual knowledge in that. They don't teach spiritual knowledge anything. You go there with the yoga mat, sit there for a few hours, and then they will show you all different postures, practice all that. Then they put you into meditation and all. All these things are done, right? So, but they are not getting shastra jnanam, right? So, from that itself, you can see how people's mind works. They go through these yoga processes, meditation processes, but shastra jnanam, they are not willing to take it easily. Even when it's spoken, they turn their mind away. They don't want to listen to it, right? So, they'll say, oh, we don't want any book knowledge. People have said like that. The knowledge from the books, we don't want it. We want practical something. So this meditation, yoga process and all is that one which gives us this practical thing, side of it, right? So book knowledge is one thing and shastra jnanam is another thing again, right? That means pramanam, they find it difficult to accept. Pramanam, authority, or the, you can say that shastram is pramanam, isn't it? Krishna keeps saying that. Tasmal shastram pramanam de. Why is he saying that? Because pramanam is important in spiritual life, right? So they are not ready for that. Why? Their buddhi is not surrendering to that concept. Their buddhi is not surrendering to it, to accept the knowledge. Buddhi is a block there, right? Buddhi, due to habits, has become lazy. And buddhi is thinking in a different way, driving in a different way. So when buddhi surrenders, it's a big thing in life that buddhi is able to accept shastram, right? The authority of the shastram. That's a big step in spiritual life. If our buddhi is able to accept shastram, that's a big step in spiritual life, right? So, that's what he's talking about, right? Ajahn Swamiji mentions here, that's jnanam, vairagyam, dhyana, samadhi, arambham. And it is ayasam. It is very, a lot of effort required in the beginning, right? And you will find it very difficult. Visham iva, like poison, you may feel like that, right? Dukhalpagam bhavati, that you may feel that you don't like it. Somebody is pushing it through your throat. You feel like that. All these discipline of shastra jnanam and all the other things, what etad agre visham iva, Pariname amrudomamam tal sukham satyugam proktam alma buddhi prasadajam, right? So dukhalpagam bhavadi. But when you have started relishing it of the shastram through buddhi and the mind, when you are relishing it, he is saying here that inside, it is as though a pot of nectar has opened. Pot of nectar has opened, right? And amrudobamam, he says. And that sukham inside your feeling is satyugam. Is satyugam. That means slowly you are getting disconnected from the body. Till then you are completely absorbed in the body. But when you get a little bit of release from the bodily identification, that's what it does in the buddhi and the mind, is it not? A lot of devotees have said this, that they had no idea there is a thing called self-realization or thing called the soul. So first time when they heard about Bhagavad Gita, this message in the second chapter, it was an eye-opener for most of the people. Many, many devotees have said that. that first time they realized that we are something different than this body. That knowledge itself was an eye-opener for them. And then having heard about it for a while, they started realizing life doesn't finish with this body. You see, that is sattugunam, that is the symptom of sattugunam growing inside. But then it shouldn't stop there. That's just a first stage in the right direction, right? That's what Krishna is saying here. Alma buddhi prasadajam, right? Buddhi has become a little bit more clear. Buddhi has got some more clarity and it is ready for spiritual life. That's what it means. Chitsarupa darshanam, right? So, this dhriti, that willpower inside, which is saying me, me, me all the time, he start inquiring about where is this coming from? Who am I? That question comes inside, right? Till then you have believed that you are the body and you live like that in this world. But suddenly this question has come up that I am not the body, I am something different, consciousness. And then this question comes, inquiry power comes to us to inquire who am I? That inquiry, right? And then Shastram, when you go further deep into it, you are told that you are not the body, you are not the mind, you are not the senses, you are not the intelligence. And in that way, that ahankara vritti inside, that you are also know that you are not realized as self, then who am I? So, abhimana vritti, ahankara vritti, it is called, right? That prajna means that power inside, to inquire in a very subtle level about this identity, who we are. That power, you get it at that point, right? And that is what Krishna calls it as Atma Buddhi. Atma Buddhi means our capacity to inquire about the self. Inquire about the self, right? He says Atma Buddhi Prasadajam, right? So, what that means is, by then, this is a gradual process going on. Your meditations, you are chanting the holy name, Japam, Dhyanam, Bhakti, all these things is becoming more and more, how do you call it, Parivagam. Parivagam means it is becoming more and more stable in all these things. You have become a little bit more established in the sadhana, more established in the sadhana, right? And there is a happiness from that, and Krishna says that satyam. That happiness what you get when you come to this stage, that means first time you realize that initially it has been difficult, but you have made the sacrifice to get through that, and initially it was poison, but gradually you started feeling the importance of spiritual life, and it has started working from inside. It's not from outside, it's working from inside. Changes are happening inside. Buddhi, mind, everything is getting more tuned to spiritual life, spiritual practices, discipline, everything. And that change what is happening, that Krishna is saying, the happiness you feel from that is satyam. So, that is satyam. Then, the next one, what is rajasam? Rajasam. Vishayendriya samyogal yatadagre amrudopamam Pariname Vishamiva Talsugam Rajasam Spradam. So you can see Satyam Rajasam is totally opposite. Satyam in the beginning is poison, later it is nectar. Rajasam in the beginning it is nectar, later on it is poison. Totally opposite. Satyam Rajasam. Right? So senses, getting happiness from sense objects. That's Rajasam. Senses getting happiness from sense objects. That's Rajasam, right? Vishaya Indriya Samyogal, right? Tat Sukham Jayade Agre Prathamakshane Amrutopamam. All sense gratification in the beginning is like nectar. Isn't it? Every sense gratification. The beginning it's nectar, right? Amrutasamam. Then Pariname Visham. Later on it is poison. Iva Bela Virya Rupa Prajna Medha Manam Mano Ulsaham Hani Hedutwal Adharma Dajani Ta Naragadi Hedutwal Chapariname Tad Upaboga Parinamande Visham Iva Tal Sugam Rajasam Smridam. You can't be more precise than that. He is saying this. What Rajasam does is that balam, viryam, rupam, prajna, medha, manas, ulsaham, hani. All these gets destroyed by sense gratification. That's the result. So, this is so subtle things, isn't it? We won't understand. But you can see this also if you look at some people who had a lot of sense gratification in childhood. Another thing, they are finished by age of 30, they have become old. All this has gone. Balam, viryam, rupam, prajna, medha, manas, manolsaham, hani, hedutval. All destroyed, right? Adharma tajjani naragadi hedutval. Because they engage in adharma also, the chances are that they go to hell. Cha pariname tad ubhoga parinamande vishamiva. This is the problem with ubhoga samskaram. Ubhoga samskaram means consumerism. That is why when we say about consumerism, people don't like it. They think we should buy more everything. That is ubhoga samskaram. That is what he is talking about. Pariname tad ubhoga parinamande visham. Ubhoga means this consumerism. Keep on buying things in the world, everything, accumulating. And ubhavogam, that is ubhavogam. Ubhavogam means getting victimized by the market. You get victimized by the market. Market, there are so many millions of things for sale. And if you keep on buying things and getting used to that, thinking that you need everything in this world. If this state comes, that means he has become a victim of this consumerism. And that is a sad thing in Bharata Bhumi now. It was never like this before. What's happening now is all these big companies coming and dumping all their stuff there, which they don't need really. But they have been created through advertisement and through various ways, making them addicted to it, and then they suffer from that. Coming to a stage they can't live without that. Here it's gone long ago, but there we didn't have this so much, but because of this, addiction happens due to so many things. What they don't need is sold now in the market. Ubhoga samskaram, it's called consumerism. And that is what this rajasam is all about. That is typical this rajasic sukham. Sukham comes from rajasic habits, rajasic nature, right? That's what he's saying here. That and beginning it is amrudopamam, amrudasamam, pariname visham. Iva balam, viryam, rupam, prajna, medha, manolsaham, hani, hetutval. Adharma dajjanitta naragadi hetutval cha pariname, tad upaboga parinamande visham. Iva thalsugam rajasam smrudam. Right? So, senses making contact with sense objects. Right? When we experience the sense objects, you feel good. In the beginning, right? So in the beginning he is happy and so therefore there is no effort to acquire knowledge, no need for austerities and no want to struggle, comfortable, everything, right? Whatever you get in life, enjoy it. Whatever you can get in life, take it and enjoy it, right? So enjoy this mindset, right? And when you go like that, in the beginning, it's all nectar. Very good, right? And you get a lot of freedom to get involved in that, right? you can't do anything. It is just like horses who have been let free. Horses that has been let free. It's wandering around wherever it likes, right? And they'll say in different ways, in different languages, I don't know, but in different places, right? You told them first, it's bad. They didn't listen. Gave them a lot, they wouldn't listen. Then we said, sure, go and do what you want. Throw them out. That's only three options. First you told them, they won't listen. Gave them a bit, won't listen. And then you say, push them out. And then if they want, whatever it may be, right? What else can you do at that stage? So if your senses are growing like this, going like that, then there's nothing you can do about it, right? Nobody can stop that. But after some time, they will themselves realize it. that this is not right, what they have done, right? And then they are looking for way out from that, after sense gratification, right? And then thousands of problems come from that, right? And unable to come out of it, from what has happened in their life, right? And when he is in that state, tal sukham raja samspradam, he's saying here, tal sukham raja samspradam. So whatever happiness he got from that, is all rajasam. It's all rajasam, right? Naraga adharma naragadi hedituval, he says there, right? And obviously if he has lived like that, he will do adharmam. He will break the laws of dharmam, right? And when he leaves this body, right, he will get a free ticket to hell. So you saw the difference in Sattvayam Sukham, Atma Buddhi Prasajam. He said, Krishna mentions that it will bring you up. You will only go up. There is no chance of going down. But Rajasa means it's definite, you will go down. You won't go up, right? So, so that's what he's saying here. And so this train, Rajasam Sukham, if it starts from here, that train will only end up in the hell. It will only end up in the hell, right? And if you want to come down from that, on the way somewhere, if you want to get out of it, it's very difficult, right? What does hell means? Hell means, basically what he's referring is that you will be a lot of distress. That means a plane of existence where you suffer a lot. There's a plane of existence where you are happy. There's a plane of existence where there is total shanti. That's the realized state. The higher planes of existence is where you are always happy. But this plane of existence is always misery, suffering, a lot of suffering. And you can see that if you carefully read through people's life, a lot of people in the old age are suffering heavily for because of this problem. That they lived a life of this consumerism and engaged in sense gratification, and this enjoy principle was very strong when they were young. No austerities, no penances, no spiritual knowledge, and completely living in the concept of the bodily existence, and that the old age requires all kinds of support and help from, and the government also same way, promoting this. For everything there is some scheme and there is some there is some agenda they have, which they will provide for that, right? So that is what he said there. Pariname Vishamiva. It's all poisonous at the end, right? Tal Sugam Rajasamaspradam. The after effect of all these things, the after effect is poisonous. It's like a poison, right? That means what happens is life has no meaning then. For those who have grown in that situation, at the end in their life, they just don't know what this life is all about. Once you lose that hope in life, right, there is an emptiness in their life. So you see the difference, what makes this Sattvayam Rajasam, right? So when you feel that emptiness in life at the end, because whole life they worked hard, enjoyed life, and they think life has been very good, but it is in the old age all the suffering comes. From that, the old age will be very miserable, right? And sukham, all they had in the youth, the old age was all suffering and misery. So that is rajasam. That is rajasam. Then, so mainly it is sense gratification. Getting happiness from sense gratification, that is rajasam. Senses making contact with sense objects, and you are getting happiness from that, rajasam. Spiritual knowledge, and it's affecting the buddhi and the mind, and the knowledge of the self slowly growing inside, and the happiness coming from that, sattvayam. Now let's look at what tamasam is. Tamasam, right? Yadagre chanu bandheja sukham mohanam atmana nidra alasya pramadottham tal tamasam udahridam. It is miserable in the beginning, miserable at the end as well. And it only makes a person falls to sleep always. Lazy all the time. Right? And the madness that comes from that. These are the three things. Sleep, laziness, and the madness after that. And you get some happiness from that, from these three. And that is tamasam. That is tamasam, right? So that means in the beginning and in the end, there is no happiness in life, right? And this tamogunam, sukham from tamasam, tamogunam, easily traps a person in that, right? A kind of dullness in people. Sometimes you observe that in people, right? Kind of dullness in them, right? What's their nature? No enthusiasm for anything. Just satisfied sleeping, satisfied doing a few things, laziness, right? Pramadam, and they have gone away from the main route. So Rubaschidi has gone from them. They cannot even understand there is a thing called a soul, and no interest also to know about the soul. Happy with the body, and whatever pleasure is coming from the body, satisfied with that. And this is the tamasya sukham. That means it's a dull state, jadam state it is. Jadigadam, right? That stage. And rajogunam, if you stay in rajogunam for a long time, you will end up in tamogunam. That's the problem. Rajasa will lead it to tamasya at the end. This can all happen. Yeah. So, yad agreja anubandeja avasano uttarakale sukham mohanam mohakaram almanaha nidra alasya pramodottham nidra cha alasyam cha pramadam cha iti edebhya samutishtadi iti nidra alasya pramodottham tal tamasam udakhridam. The three things mainly. Nidra alasyam pramadam. Pramadam means misunderstanding. Misunderstanding of what? That this body is everything. Nothing more than this body. If you are trapped in that state, it's very difficult. When you can't accept anything except the body as the identity. A lot of people have got this problem, isn't it? Many people, you tell them about the soul, they find it hard to accept it. Why? Tattamasam udaharadam. This tamogunam is so strong in them. And but they get a happiness out of it. To feel that they are the body. They feel happy about that. That they are the body. Because the body is allowing them to sleep. They enjoy their sleep. And similarly, being lazy, not doing anything. Just being lazy, right? And all the misunderstanding from that. And they get some happiness from that. So, so not only that, they get that happiness at that time. And after experiencing that also, they feel happy. After sleeping well, if they get to sleep for 12, 13 hours continuously, they get tremendous happiness from that. Yeah. So, all this is tamasam. And they are carried away by that. Iti pradanim prakarana upasamharartha shloka arabhyade. So, the next verse is all conclusion of that. Right? So, all living entities in this world falls into these three. Sattvagunam, rajagunam, tamagunam. Right? And we have all three of them in us. Not that we are having all... We shouldn't use this to judge anybody. It's only for judging ourselves. Right? We can study ourselves based on that, but not judge others on that basis. Because that will cause problems. But these three gunam is present in everyone. With varying degrees in different people, right? Not only here, even the heavenly planets, Devalokam also, right? Three gunams are present there also. And without these three gunam, creation is not possible. It is required also. Otherwise, creation cannot work. And you know, in Ayurveda, they say vatam, pittam, kapham, air, bile, and mucus. That is coming from these three gunam, sattugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, right? So, this air, bile, and mucus, what we talk about in the body, it's a subtle form, is the sattugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam. In sattugunam, rajagunam, tamogunam, when it manifests in a body, it comes in the form of vatam, pittam, kapham. Right? So, without these three, creation is not possible. We do need tamogunam to some degree. Otherwise we won't sleep at night. And we do need rajogunam in us. Otherwise we won't do any work. Karma won't happen. So, but how to balance them and keep sattogunam? Out of the three, only sattogunam is going to elevate you spiritually. Other two are for maintaining the body here. Okay. So, he says, the next verse, na tadasti prithivyam va divi deveshu va punaha sattvam prakritijair muktam ede bisyal tribhir gunai. Verse 40, right? He is saying here that in this world, earth, or in the heavenly planets, there is no living entity, either here or in the heavenly planets, who are free from these three gunam. From these three gunam, right? So you can imagine, without these three gunam, if you have any philosophy in this world, it's not very, helpful, is it? Without understanding, this three gunam means everything, right? And if you ignore three gunam, then whatever philosophy you present in this world, how much sense does it make? It makes no sense at all. This is why it's so difficult sometimes to, when you lose the authority of the Vedam, you're gone, finished. All your so-called knowledge is all useless. Because if you don't accept the authority of the Vedam, means you're not accepting the three modes of nature, three modes of material nature. And three modes of material nature is such an important part in life, to understand this life and even after leaving this body. And when you don't take that into account in your philosophical understanding of life, then whatever philosophy you are talking about is just in the air. You can only give that much importance to it. It doesn't mean much, in other words. Right? So, na tad asti, tad na asti prativyam va manushyadishu sattvam prani jadam anyedva aprani jadam va divi devesh va punya sattvam prakritido jade ebi tribihi gunehi sattvadibi muktam parityaktam yelsyad bhaved na tad asti idi purvena sambandha. He says, Ajari Swami says here, sarva samsaram kriya karaka bhala lakshanaha sattva rajas tamo gunatmakaha avidya parikalpitaha samulaha anarsaha ukto vruksha rupa kalpanayaja urdhumulam ityadinam. This statement, Ajari Swami is saying, you should connect with the 15th chapter of Bhagavad Gita, first verse. Urdhumulam atashaga ashwatam prakuryavveyam chandam sesya varmani estum vedasavedavit. Right? That means karmam, kartrutvam, karma bhalam, these three things. Karmam, kartrutvam, karma bhalam. These three things are due to these three modes of nature. And they are the symptoms of these three modes of nature present in us. Along with that, ajnanam, avidya comes. And that is how we are living in this world. We are existing in this world with these three things. Karmam, kartrutvam, karma bhalam. And these things have come from the three modes in us. And along with that, the avidya comes. Three modes affects us, that creates the avidya. And that avidya creates kartrutvam, karma bhalam, karmam. All the three things. Karmam is not our nature. This is because in this world we have been put this ideology into our head, pumped into our head by the society and by the world, and we have got trapped in that. And then we believe for a long period of time in life that we have to work very hard. Otherwise, what's there in life? This is all the avidya that has pumped into our own head. Now when you come through Shastram, you understand that is not our real nature. Not to work hard. That's not our real nature. Even working hard itself is disgusted as far as Vedam is concerned, right? So he's saying here, avidya entered into us, which is ajnanam, and that avidya has come in these three forms. Sattvagunam, rajogunam, tamogunam. and it created this karmam, kartrutvam, karmaphalam. So, and that is how we live in this world. And that is how we see this world as well, right? And this whole thing, Krishna calls it as avidya. And that is how he built up that tree, what is spoken in the 15th chapter, with the root upwards and the tree downwards, right? And that is an imaginary tree. It's not a real tree. It's an imaginary tree. But that tree has been built on this principle, on this, right? Tacha, tamcha, asanga shastrena dradena chitva. Krishna is saying you have to cut that tree from the root itself, right? Tadapadandat parimargidavyam. All these are the verses in the 15th chapter. Asanga shastrena dradena chitva, he says. With the help of shastram, that's the shastram. With that you have to cut this off. So you can see how powerful shastram is. To cut through our ignorance is not so easy, is it? The ignorance in us is so deep. To cut through that is not easy. That is why in the 15th chapter Krishna is saying, you have to cut that tree of ignorance, what is inside you. And what is that ignorance? Karmam, karma bhalam, kartrutvam. All that is imposed on us by the society, and we got trapped in that. That is the reality, is like that, right? So he's saying here, and tadapadandat parimargidavyam, there is a verse in that 15th chapter, right? Third, fourth verses, right? Iticha uktam, Ajari Swami says that is appropriate one. That through anasakti, without attachment, with that power of vairagyam, you have to cut this power of vairagyam, right? And we have to find out what the truth is at the end, right? Tatracha sarvasya trigunalpagatvad samsara karana nivrti anupabattav praptayam yathatan nivrti syad tatha vaktavyam. So if it is like that, the three modes of nature, and is that not necessary for samsara nivrti, from coming out of that, is it not necessary? Because only three modes of nature, then you have to come out of that. So does that mean three modes of nature is not necessary? Sarvacha Gita Shastartha Upasamhartavya Eta Van Evacha Sarva Veda Smrityartha Purushartham Ichadbi Anushtayamidi Evam Arthamcha Brahmana Kshatriya Visham Ityadi Arabhyade. Ajari Swami is saying here that this is where the necessity to know Varnashrama Dharma. This is an opening up towards Varnashrama Dharma. This Brahmana Kshatriya Vaishya Shudra, how that has come and where is it going? That when this question comes, when we have talked about Sattvagunam, Rajagunam, Tamogunam, he is saying here that the next verse is beginning with that. If you want to free yourself from these three modes of nature, you also have to understand Varnashrama Dharma, how it helps, right? How Varnashrama Dharma helps to understand, to free yourself from the cycle, right? So, in human society, there are various types of people, isn't it? In this world, there are various types of people, right? some people, they are satisfied with spiritual knowledge. They are peaceful with that, right? They exist in spiritual knowledge, spiritual life only. Other things are not important for them. There are many people like that. May not be here, but in the villages you can see that. In villages, right? In India, I have seen them many. Their life is centered around spiritual knowledge and spiritual life. They may not be very advanced devotees like the way we say. They are not preaching all over the world. And they are not making disciples. They are not distributing many books. And they are not fundraising. They are not building temples. They are not doing anything. But they are living at home. But the consciousness in them all the time is centered around spiritual life, spiritual advancement, spiritual existence. Because within themselves they are aware that they are soul. Soul is important than the body. That awareness, right? And they are not interested in working hard, going out, migrating and doing work out of places and all that, or acquiring a lot of wealth. No attraction for any of these things, right? There is one group of people like that. Minimum, few people, but not many, but there are people like that, right? Some others, they work hard, they like to work hard, acquire a lot of wealth. That is also their nature, right? And some people have this business nature, isn't it? They always like to do business. It is just the nature in people. Vyapara buddhi, it's called. That it's just the nature of persons, right? And they, wherever they go, they'll find an opportunity for doing business. They came to Krishna Consciousness Movement also, and there also their business nature has come in them. Where it's coming from, you don't know, but it is there in them. Even after coming to spiritual life, Vyavahara Buddhi is not leaving. It is still holding them, affecting them, right? And that means they always have to do something. Selling, buying. Some business they have to do, otherwise they are not peaceful in life, right? Then some others, they can't do anything, and none of these things, right? But they are capable of doing a lot of work with the body. So you can see the differences, right? So all they know is they can work. In this way, four varnam has come like this, right? So this is the reason that some adjustments have been made there. That we say we are trying to, because it causes problem when you say this to people. They think that you are bringing caste system. The Western world particularly, they are deadly against that, isn't it? The caste system, they call it. Whatever system you call it, ultimately these things do happen in people's life. They are like that. Business nature, hard work, people have got that nature. And some others wants to control everybody. And some others don't want to get involved in anything, live in a spiritual way of life. Now this four nature is in people. And that you cannot do anything with that. Yeah, they come with that, right? So, because when you say this to people, that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra, they get very affected by that. They get upset about that, right? And so what we say to them, that it is not by birth, you say it is by quality, and that way you escape from by not having any trouble. That's the only way of saying that, to close the door in a way that it doesn't create any confrontation. For that purpose we say to them that it is not based on birth. You have to keep saying, you defend yourself in that way. It's all based on quality, it's all based on quality, right way. Okay. So, Chaturvarnyam, Krishna is entering into that topic now. Chaturvarnyam, right? Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya, Shudra. These are on a material platform, first thing. One who has transcended this four, he is a realized soul. Who is not in the Varna, he is not affected by the Varna anymore. Because he has come to the platform of the soul. These things are based on the body and the mind. Varnashrama, right? So when jnanam, spiritual knowledge is the goal, when you say that, you can see that this varnam is not that important. Ultimately it's not important, because if you realize the self, then there is no varnashrama dharmam anymore. It's over with that. It's all before that, in that stage when you have started spiritual life at that time, right? But these are all mostly related to our life in this world, this Varna Dharma particularly, right? So when we talk about worldly life, all these things has become important, right? And you have to remember, this is all spoken in the middle of Mahabharatam. Bhagavad Gita is spoken in the middle of Mahabharatam, isn't it? So you can only say these things what was existing at that time, in the time of Mahabharatam. You can only talk about what was existing in the society at that time. Like people talk about things, what is existing in the society today, isn't it? You see young people, when you talk to them, they only see the world of what is existing in the society today. If you tell them about something else, they find it difficult to relate with that. So similarly, all this is spoken at the time of Mahabharat war. And what was present in the Mahabharata society at that time, right? So, in that society, what was existing then, is what is spoken here, right? And it is on that basis this four varnam subhavam has spoken, right? So what Krishna is saying here is that this subhavam, wherever you find it. Now, this varnam and subhavam can vary all the time. Krishna's point is, you have to go beyond this four varnam, beyond this four subhavam, that is jnani, realized person, one who is self-realized, right? So, but what he is saying now is that what was existing then in the society, right, wherever you find these differences, these four different nature in anyone, right, you have to assume that that varnam is existing. That varnam is existing. When you find these four different nature, that four varnam is existing, right? So that is how it says in the Mahabharatam also. Wherever you find this subhavam, like this we spoke, this four different subhavam, there that varnam is present, right? So it is a general category, right? And in this world, there will always be a like this only. It will always be like this, right? And like if you have different political parties, right? Do you mean that in each political party, everybody believes in everything what they do? No. If you take Labour or Tories or Reform Party, in all these parties, all members don't think identical. There is some things they are in agreement. Many things they differ each other, individually, I'm saying, right? Similarly, in the same way, Varnashram Dharmam also, right? World is a mixture of things, and you can't change that, right? That means you cannot completely segregate things in that way. And you can't say everything for a person, in few things they agree each other, so therefore they have formed a political party. Is it not? You know, it's not difficult to understand that every political party, if you take, there are the left, towards left and towards right, and then there are the middle ones. All this, we talk about that, isn't it? In Labour also, in Tories also. In every party, it is like that. In the same way, because you can't put everybody together in one box, that is the nature of the world, right? And it is impossible think differently. You have to accept that general nature of the world, right? For example, you can see when political parties, when they fight each other on some issue, they'll pick it up and they'll start making issue out of it, which may not be a big issue, but for their political purposes, they will use that issue. You know, like in India, we have problems, South and North problem with the Hindi language. This is going for the last. A lot of people can speak Hindi now, but still they'll fight. Just because of politics involved in that. Yeah. So, this is the difficulty, right? And then they will use, similarly, the Arya-Dravida fight. Another one. Yeah. All this has no backup from Shastram or from anything. But they realize that it can be used for political purposes. So, they form a party on that basis. And they will start fighting. Once you form a party, and many people in the party itself don't believe in that, but still they will fight, just for politics purposes, right? So, this way, they use Varnashram Dharmam also, in the same way, right? So, then they will say, the people in the south, they say, Lord Brahma speaks Tamil, not Hindi, he says. This is the kind of arguments they put forward, right? Then somebody said, we are a Ravana's party, the DMK says. We are Ravana's party, they say. So then somebody told Ravana is a demon, so they changed Ravana then. Then they became Anjaneya Swami's party. So like this is all politics, how politics comes into spiritual life, right? Ravana has nothing to do with DMK, Anjaneya Swami nothing to do with DMK, they have nothing to do with any of these things. But how you use these personalities who are very popular, like Ravana, Anjaneya and all that, for your own political purposes, they do all these things. This is politics, it is. That's the way it works, right? So, but, why does that happen? Because they know the weakness of the human mind. that you take pride in something, that I belong to this, I belong to that, and he is my leader in this way, right? So, then which language is older language? Tamil is older or Sanskritum is older? And then they go and start digging somewhere to find out which language is older. So this is the way they try to solve the problem. They have to get the documents from the ground and find out which language is older. So you understand what it is, right? So, it is on this color all these problems are coming, right? And similarly, nowadays in the world, racial problems, isn't it? Which race is superior? Which race is lower? Which race is higher in that way? Then there is problem with man-woman. Whether we are equal or woman are lower than the men. So all these discussions, right? So this kind of problems will continue to happen in this world. You can't do anything about it, right? So that is what he is saying in the next verse. Brahmana kshatriya visham shudranam cha parantapa karmani pravibhaktani svabhavam prabhavair gunai. Svabhavam prabhavair gunai. This svabhavam is such a thing, he is saying that you see, brahmana kshatriya vaishya shudra, all these karmani pravibhaktani, in other words, that from one's own svabhavam, certain gunam comes from that, right? And on that basis, karmam has been divided among them. From our svabhavam when we are born, we have a svabhavam, right? And based on that svabhavam, we have been given, some gunam comes from that svabhavam, from svabhavam, right? Accordingly, karmam has been given to them to do, right? And that is how Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra had come. So, svabhavam we seen before what it is, right? That some people don't want to do anything. They are so fixed up in the self-realization, attachment to spiritual life, knowledge of the self, that's more important for them. And they are willing to sacrifice everything else in life for that purpose. To that extent, that ideology is in their mind strongly. Self-realization and liberation, these are important factors for them. And they are not concerned about economic development, sense gratification, working very hard in this world, acquiring wealth. So all these things does not fit into their life. So much vairagyam in life. When people are like that, that is those people, for them was given this occupation called Brahmana. That's how they were given. So how you divide the karmam in this world to four different groups of svabhavam, people with four different svabhavams, is what created this Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, right? And it is a system developed so that the world can go on with all these four different types of categories of people, right? And so that's what he's saying here in the next verse, if you look, right? Before that, he says that Brahmanacha, Kshatriyacha, Vishacha, Brahmana Kshatriya Vishaha, Tesham, Brahmana Kshatriya Visham, Shudranamcha, Shudranam, Asamasakaranam, Ega Jaditve, Sadi Vede, Anathigarat, He Parandava, Karmani, Pravibhaktani, Idaredare Vibhagena, Vivastabhidani. So Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, all four Varnam, their karmam is spoken first. Because Shudras are not allowed to study Vedam, because it won't make any sense they studying Vedam. Reason being that they like to work hard. They have no interest in studying knowledge, these things, they have no interest in that, right? So they are kept separately because of that. Kena svabhava prabhavai gunai svabhavaha ishurasya prakriti trigunalmiya maya sa prabhavaha yesham gunanam te svabhava prabhavaha taihi shamadini karmani pravibhaktani brahmanadinam, right? ది పెర్మనెంట్లీ వాట్ ఎగ్జిస్ట్ ఈస్ దీస్ త్రీ మోడ్స్ ఆఫ్ నేచర్ త్రిగుణాత్మిక మాయ దే ఎగ్జిస్ట్ పెర్మనెంట్లీ రైట్ అండ్ ఫ్రమ్ దాట్ ఓన్లీ స్వభావం హ్యాస్ కమ్ ఫ్రమ్ దిస్ త్రీ గుణం స్వభావం హ్యాస్ కమ్ ఇన్ ఆల్ ఆఫ్ అస్ రైట్ అండ్ త్రూ దాట్ గుణం దాట్ స్వభావం ఫార్ బ్రాహ్మణ శమం దమం త్రిదీక్ష ఆల్ దోస్ క్వాలిటీస్ హస్ కమ్ ఫార్ ది బ్రాహ్మణ రైట్ సో బ్రాహ్మణ స్వభావస్య సత్వగుణ ప్రభవ కారణం తథా క్షత్రియ స్వభావస్య సత్వోపసర్జనం రజ ప్రభవ కారణం తథా వైశ్య స్వభావస్య తమ ఉపసర్జనం రజ ప్రభవ శూద్ర స్వభావస్య రజ ఉపసర్జనం తమ ప్రభవ ప్రశాంతి ఐశ్వర్య మూఢద స్వభావ దర్శనాత్ చతుర్ణాం అగైన్ బ్రాహ్మణ స్వభావం ఈ సత్వగుణం క్షత్రియ స్వభావం ఈస్ మెయిన్లీ రజోగుణం అండ్ దెన్ సత్వగుణం సమ్ మిక్స్డప్ విత్ దాట్ హూ క్షత్రియ రైట్ వైశ్య స్వభావం ఈస్ రజోగుణం అలాంగ్ విత్ దాట్ తమోగుణం మిక్స్డప్ విత్ దాట్ శూద్ర స్వభావం మెయిన్లీ తమోగుణం బట్ అలాంగ్ విత్ దాట్ సమ్ రజోగుణం దిస్ ఈస్ ఆల్ ఇట్ ఈస్ అండ్ And in four, all four of them, if you look at them, you will see some specific nature in them. What are they? For Brahmana, Shanti state, always peaceful in life. It's their nature is like that. They are in peaceful state, right? In the Kshatriya, you will see he wants Aishwaryam, opulences in life. He cannot live without that. That Kshatriya nature coming out from them. Aishwaryam, opulences, comforts, everything in life. That's why they had big palaces, they built plenty of wives and big family life. This is all Kshatriya nature. Vaishya nature desires agraham. Any amount of wealth is not enough for them. This is Vaishya nature, right? And tamogunam, Shudra nature, mudhatvam. Mudhatvam means difficult to accept spiritual knowledge. Satisfied in the bodily level, existing like that. Satisfied in the bodily level. So you can see where these four gunam coming from the four varnam coming from three gunams and how they impact on people. Once you understand all these things, there's nothing to find bad about it, as it is just the way world is. Creation is like that, and we have come with this sabhavam. And why do we take it so seriously and to go against it and saying that, oh, this is not acceptable? As though we are all equal. We are not equal. This is the problem. That when you start making things which are not equal, like yesterday what we discussed in the Bhagavatam, when we were saying the same thing, is it not? That these differences will be there. Gunam, dosham. And that varying degrees in people will exist. And you can't wipe it out. And when we talk about samatvam, samatvam is not based on these things. Samatvam is based on the understanding that on the Paramatma level, Brahmana is same as Kshatriya, as same Vaishya and Shudra. On the bodily level, with our what we call the for our transactions in this world, and in on that level, this is all exist. All these things exist. But, so you can see where it is coming from. Athava Janmandara Krita Samskaraha ప్రాణినాం వర్తమాన జన్మని స్వకార్య అభిముఖత్వేన అభివ్యక్త స్వభావ స ప్రభవ ఏషాం తే స్వభావ ప్రభావా గుణాః రైట్ ఫర్ లైఫ్ మెనీ మెనీ లైఫ్ టైమ్స్ పీపుల్ ఆర్ లివింగ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వరల్డ్ ఇన్ దిస్ వే అండ్ త్రూ దేర్ వర్క్ ఆక్యుపేషన్ అండ్ త్రూ దేర్ యాక్టివిటీస్ దిస్ సంస్కారం హ్యాస్ బిల్ట్ అప్ అండ్ when they have to live their life in this world, when they have to deal with this world, this svabhavam will come out through them. This svabhavam will come out through them, right? And that is how their nature is. Gunam comes like that. So, this svabhavam in a person is also, to some extent, responsible for the gunam of a person. Gunam, when you are talking about not the three modes of nature, his behavior pattern, in other words. His behavior pattern. So a person is like that. Guna pradur bhavasya, bhavasya, nishkaranatval upabhate, sobhavaha karanam, idi karana vishesho ubadanam, evam sobhava prabhavai, prakriti prabhavai, satturajastamo bhi, gunai sogaryani rupena, shamadini karmani prabhibhaktani. Right? So this trigunam, three modes of nature, right? They don't happen without any reason behind it. Right? The reason for that is sobhavam. In a person, right? From our swabhavam, what we have brought with us, that is in the form of vasana and other things. And so, when we are born in a particular family, you can see that our swabhavam is matched with that family's swabhavam. Where we come and take birth in a family, almost all, we will have a swabhavam similar to that family's swabhavam. It will match very well, right? Krishna does all this matching. We don't know anything about the matching. What he does, right? So, so swabhavam is the reason behind that. So Krishna knows our vasana, right? So he knows that where is the right place for him. So he put us in that place, in that family. Go and take birth there, right? So, and then, so that the family will survive together in the same swabhavam, right? So, from our prakriti comes that swabhavam, right? So trigunam, the three modes of nature, will also have its effect on him, right? And how he handles his life in this world, from that you have to observe these things. In this way, swabhavam, gunam, prakriti, karmam, all these are connected to each other. You may try to become free from that. It is difficult. And Krishna says you shouldn't. Most of the times our problem is we are fighting against Krishna. That's where we get into trouble. Krishna has put us in one place, in one situation. Whatever it may be. Better to stay in that state. Wherever Krishna has put us. And staying in that, Krishna says you have to develop spiritually. Whatever situation he has put us in. In that situation. Otherwise, I'll tell you what the problem is. See, between grihastha and sannyasi, right? Grihastha is thinking, he has gone through a lot of hardship in life, for working hard, earning money, living a difficult life, because he had to look after the family, maintain the family and everything, right? So, grihastha is thinking, when he sees a sannyasi, look at him, how free he is. He's not working hard like me. I worked all my life and paid all the taxes. Sannyasi doesn't pay taxes. I don't know, nowadays sannyasi is also paying taxes, I think. But sannyasis don't pay taxes. I pay taxes. And you develop sannyasi, grihastha develops in his mind an understanding about a sannyasi like this, that sannyasi's life is comfortable. And he is thinking in his mind, I wish I could live a life like that, totally free, travel anywhere you want, money is coming, respect is there in the society, all these things. It is happening in the householder's mind. He is thinking about a sannyasi like this. Sannyasi is thinking, what is sannyasi thinking, you know? He is looking at the householder and he is thinking, what a nice house he has got, whereas me, I have no house to go to. Living in this temple, this ashram, that ashram. He has got a car, lovely car, he drives around wherever he wants to go. He has got money, he doesn't have to ask anybody for support. He has got wife to look after everything at home. Children, what a happy life. He can have prasadam what he wants. So many comforts. So these two, sannyasi and grihastha, between them, this problem comes. Grihastha thinks about sannyasi like this, sannyasi is thinking about grihastha in the other way, opposite way. So, grihastha thinks that because sannyasi is living a better life, he goes and pays obeisances to sannyasi and tells him, oh, you are so advanced spiritually, look at my condition, I am suffering here. So, that is why grihastha pays and obeisances to sannyasi. Sannyasi knows inside, he is a happy life, what, look at my life, where I have ended up, I did a big mistake. He is thinking like that in his mind. Often sannyasis do that. They realize, they've gone and taken sannyasam, but afterwards they are thinking, is this all the right thing, whether I have done the right thing? Especially when you get older, the thoughts will come in the mind, right? So, what he's saying here is that this swabhavam karmam is all based on Shastra Vidhi, right? Satya Svabhava Gunam Trigunam or Satya Karmam is based on these gunams that it is happening. Nani Shastra Pavibhaktani Shastrana Vihidani Brahmanadinam Shamadini Karmani Kathamuchade Satvadu Gunam Pravibhaktani Idi. So this Svabhavam Karmam is all based on Shastram, it says, right? So how can you say that it is based on Trigunam? It also, so answer to that. Na esha doshaha shastrena abhi brahmanadinam sattvadi guna vishesha apekshaya eva shamadini karmani pravibhaktani na gunan apekshaya iti shastra vibhaktani abhi karmani guna pravibhaktani iti uchyate. Right? Means that shastram is the foundation for everything, right? At the same time, with the Shastram, these qualities also has a role in that. Shastram is the adhishtanam or foundation for everything. Along with that, you have to take into account the qualities as well, right? And that is on that basis that shamam, damam, all these different qualities are taken, and on basis of that, the karmam was divided and given to them. So, Shastram is the authority, first of all. And then on top of that, these four divisions were made based on the Svabhava. And then to them, this karmam was given to them based on the Svabhavam, on the authority of the Shastram. So, this is how Varnashrama Dharmam's origin is. You see? Shastram is always the authority first. And on top of that, this different Svabhavam comes. Gunam and Svabhavam comes, right? Based on their Gunam. And on basis of that, seeing their Gunam, the Karmam was divided for them. On that basis. Karmam was given to them. On the basis of their Gunam. Yeah. For example, if you tell a Shudra that you do the deity worship in the temple, he won't have much attraction for that. What can you do? What's the point in forcing him? Whereas a Brahmana who has that nature in him, he is more than happy to do it whole life, day after day after day. Whereas a Shudra will find it very hard. He will, after a few days, he will start thinking, this is not the devotional service I want to do. And he'll find some other devotional service he wants to find out. But that is because of this problem, that he has no taste for it. He has no taste for it. So, some people do it out of attraction for that. But one, the vasana inside strongly there doesn't exist in everybody. So, it is better to give that karmam to such a person who has got that vasana. Same thing with administration. Some people are like to do the administration, isn't it? They want to manage things. So, give them the managerial work. And similarly, those who want to fundraising, give them the fundraising work. And those who don't want to do anything, do some service at the temple, give them that. So this division is required even when you are a devotee. It's not possible because this vasana is strong in everyone, right? Kani. So everything is based on Shastram. That is the first thing, right? So that's what he is saying there. That the Svabhavam, what we brought with us, vasana, and then the our qualities, that what we manifest in us because of the Svabhavam. On that basis, karmam was broken up. The karmam, what has to be done in this world, is divided and given to them in these four different groups. Yeah. And that is decided that Brahmana, Kshatriya, Vaishya and Shudra, right? It is only a system created for the world to get on with life, without any friction, each other. Suppose you have some vasana for Brahmana vasana, if one has, give him the Brahmana service, Brahminical services. If he has Kshatriya vasana, give him the Kshatriya services. And if he has a Vaishya vasana, give him the Vaishya services. And Shudra vasana, give him the Shudra services, right? So, that's what it is. Then, we're talking about what Brahmana is. Shamo dama tapa shaujam, chandi arjava mevacham. Jnanam vijnanam astikyam, brahma karma svabhavajam. Brahmana svabhavam is that. ശമം ദമം തപ ശൗചം ശാന്തി രാജ്യമേവ ജ്ഞാന വിജ്ഞാനമാസ്തിക്യം ബ്രഹ്മകർമ്മ സ്വഭാവജം. ഹി ഡസൻ വാണ്ട് എനിത്തിങ് എൽസ്. ദിസ് ഈസ് ഹിസ് നേച്ചർ. ഇറ്റ്സ് ലൈക്ക് ദാറ്റ്, റൈറ്റ്? ശമം ദമം ശൗചം തപസ് ക്ഷമ സരളത വേദജ്ഞാനം അനുഷ്ഠാനജ്ഞാനം ആസ്തിക്യം, ഓൾ ദിസ് ഈസ് ബ്രാഹ്മണകർമ്മം. ശമോ ദമ ച യഥാ വ്യാഖ്യാതാർത്ഥ ആൻഡ് തപോ യഥോക്തം ശരീരാദി. ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജി ഹസ് ടേക്കൺ ദ പ്രീവിയസ് ചാപ്റ്റേഴ്സ് ആൻഡ് ഈസ് ടോക്കിംഗ് അബൌട്ട് ദാറ്റ്. 16th chapter, 1st and 2nd verse. Similarly, 17th chapter, 14th and 16th verse. Shaujam Vyakhyadam, 16th chapter, verse 3. Kshandi Kshama Arjavam Hrujuda Evaja Jnanam Vijnanam Astikyam Asti Bhava Shraddha Dhanada Agamarteshu Brahma Karma Brahmana Jadehe Karma Brahma Karma Subhavajam. So, he is saying, Shamam Dhamam. Control of mind, control of senses, right? Bahya abhyantara shuddhi, inside, outside, always clean, right? Kshama, tolerance. And then arjavam, straightforwardness. Then jnanam, knowledge of the self. Vijnanam, practical application of that in life. Astikyam, all this is brahmana subhava. Astikyam means, you know, astikyam means, astikyam, astikyam. Astikyam means you have, now there is a problem there. Astikyam, nastikyam is not like the way you believe in God or you don't believe in God. That is the worldly concept. In the world they say, you are astik if you believe in God, if you are nastik if you don't believe in God. In Sanatana Dharma, it is not like that. You may not believe in God, but if you believe in Vedam, you are astik. That's the difference. Vedam is the authority. If you believe in Vedam, you are astik. Not that if you believe in God. There are many people who don't believe in God, but they believe in Vedam. So therefore they are astik. You see, Vedam is the authority, not the so-called God. God is not the authority. This is coming from the other side. In Sanatana Dharma, you are astik if you believe in the Vedam. So Vedic authority is more important than anything else, right? So, so he says here that the... Shamam Dhamam, Shamam means that the mind is peaceful, Dhamam means senses are all under control, right? And Tapasa, Tapasa means Swadharma Anushtanam, that what he has to do in life, he is doing it in a way that he does not deviate from that, very fixed. Nityanushtanam, all that is Tapasa, Swadhyayam Tapasa, Japam Tapasa. Everything that one has decided as his duty in this world to do for his spiritual life and material life, doing it regularly and without any fault, doing that is tapasya, right? Sandhyavandanam, for example, all the three times, is tapasya for a brahmana. That is his brahmana's tapasya, right? And it is even spoken about Ravana in the same way, in Ramayana. He was performing Sandhyavandanam all the three times, right? So, the wealth of a brahmana is this tapasya. Tapas is his wealth, right? Because he is so fixed upon that, and he has done that throughout his life, with that his strength comes from the tapasya. And that is his wealth. Not this material wealth. His wealth is this tapasya. His tapasya, right? So, shaujam. Shaujam means, you know, being clean, bathing twice or thrice a day and always staying in a clean state physically and similarly mentally also clean. So, and more than that, next one is Chandi. Chandi means that lot of distress will come in life in different forms, able to tolerate that. Chandi, right? That is Chandi. The capacity to tolerate all sufferings in life and not to complain about it. Titiksha, in another form, is Chandi, right? Then Arjavam means no duplicitousness, straightforward, everything. Not keep one thing in the mind and speak something else outside. That is not Arjavam. Arjavam means that what you think, that's what you say to others, right? Jnanam. Jnanam means Shastra Jnanam. Knowledge of the spiritual knowledge, right? Vijnana means that knowledge has its effect on him in life. It has its impact on him, Vijnana, right? Astikyam means faith in the Vedam. That is the important thing. Astikyam means faith in the Vedam, right? Shraddha in the Vedam. Bhakti towards the Vedam. Bhakti means accepting what Vedam says, right? Not believer in the God. Not believer in the God, but believer in the Vedam. That's the way it is, right? So, these six different kinds of philosophy, Sanghyam, Nyayam, Yogam, Vaisheshigam, Mimamsa, Vedantam, they are the six different schools of thought in the Sanatana Dharma, right? Out of them, many of them don't believe in God. They don't believe in God. For example, Sanghyam and Mimamsa, they don't believe in God, but they believe in the Vedam. You see how broad it is. This God concept is something that has come from the modern world, and they are forcing it upon everybody that you don't have a God, you don't believe in God, you believe in many gods. They don't understand how deep these thoughts are. Our philosophical background is so high, running into thousands and thousands of years. So many great rishis have come, and all of them have accepted Vedam as authority. That is its beauty. So imagine how powerful Vedam is. God is not powerful. Vedam is powerful. And if Vedam, if you don't belong to authority of the Vedam, if you are not accepted, Sanatana Dharma don't accept you. You may believe in God, but if you don't accept Vedam, you are not accepted in the Sanatana Dharma. Yeah. What to say? Even Srimad Bhagavatam, to get the acceptance of the Vedam, they included Shruti Gita in the Bhagavatam. To give the acceptance of the Vedam. Shruti Gita is what? Shruti is Vedam, isn't it? So, Vedastuti it's called. So, the reason why Shruti Gita was incorporated in the Bhagavatam is to give an authority to Bhagavatam that it is a part of the Vedic literature. It's for that reason only. Even though Bhagavatam is supposed to be the Amala Puranam and everything, if it is not on the authority of the Vedam, Bhagavatam won't get that acceptance, right? That's how powerful Vedam authority is, right? So, Sankhyam, Kapila Maharshi Sankhyam, and similarly, Mimamsaka, Jaimini's Mimamsa, neither of them accepts God as like that, like the way others talk about. God is not accepted as it is, right? You can see this, you can Google it, and you will find all these things spoken there also, same thing, right? Buddha and Jaina, they are Nastikas. Only for this reason, they didn't accept Vedam. Otherwise, we have no problem. Buddha has taken everything from the Upanishads. Jainas are also not different. Most of it, all these Tirthankaras and all, they have followed the Upanishads knowledge only. But because they don't accept the authority of the Vedam, they are Nastikas for Sanatana Dharma. For Sanatana Dharma, they are Nastikas. Right? Because they don't accept the Vedam. That's the only problem, right? And that's the only reason why Buddha is not worshipped. Because he didn't accept. Right? But they are in spiritual life at the same time. Right? So when you look at it from the darshanam, the sixth darshanam, right? Astiyam means you have faith in the Vedam. That is the most important thing, right? When you see all these things in a person, he is a Brahmana. That means Astikyam is important. That means the Brahmana must have total faith in the authority of the Vedam, right? Sanatana Dharma tradition is so vast. It is difficult, I know, for many people to, because our mind has become like that, right? And we find that we, depending on the ragadvesham inside us, we will look at others in the same way, you know. Like when we say, only devotees have got spiritual life, others don't have any spiritual life, right? So it's difficult. It is not like that in Sanatana Dharma. For example, Patanjali's Yoga Sutra. Patanjali is one rishi among the many. Gautama Rishi, another one, right? Kanada, Vaisheshika. They are all great, great rishis. At different times they came and they spoke. But they all accepted Vedam as authority. From Vedam, they brought these different schools of thought, right? Now, we have problems now. For example, Acharya Swamiji only accepts Shruti. He won't even accept Puranams as authority so much. In his, that is his nature. That's how he has seen it. He says only Upanishads, nothing else. Therefore, we have a problem there. That Agama Shastram, Tantram, talks about Vaikuntham and Golokam and Kailasam and all that. And Shastram, according to Upanishads, they may exist or may not exist. That's not important. But they won't accept that. If you go to any of those places, you are liberated. The liberation, yesterday we discussed this. Liberation means, basically, they will only accept. All the Advaita Vedantam will only accept Muktihi Tanyaha Rupam Surupana Vyavasthiti. That's the only thing acceptable to them. Not the other liberations what we talk about. But it doesn't mean that they are all wrong. Agama Shastram has also come through the rishis. Puranam also through the rishis. But Acharya Swamiji's position is like this. That's all he can say about it. He says he can accept only what Upanishads are saying. Because he's a total follower of Vedam and Shruti. Right? But that doesn't mean that others are wrong. You shouldn't think like that. Right? You have to have that broadness inside to accept that also. That Agama Shastram is also correct. It has come through the rishis. And similarly, Tantram also. And in Tantram and Agamam, all these concepts comes. Which one? The Vaikuntham, Kailasam, Brahmalokam and all the other things, right? So, that doesn't mean that one is right and one is wrong. They are both right. But that is their preferred choice. It's like that. You can say it like that way. That's their preference. Acharya Swami's preference is Vedam, Shruti, Upanishads. He only accepts that as authority. Why? Because in his commentary, he uses them mostly. Nothing else. He has not used the other ones. Puranams and Agama Shastram much. Pancharatri Vidhi and all that. Right? So, but then Ramanujacharya accepted them. He accepted a lot from Pancharatri Vidhi and executed that for the worship of the deities and things like that. So this is such a long tradition with so many great personalities involved. It is very difficult to say one is right and one is wrong. You take what you feel suits your nature. That's all you can do about it. You can't come to one conclusion at the end. So this is only one right in this. Everybody else is wrong. If you say like that, means you're not understood Sanatana Dharma properly. That's all it is, right? So, we are saying here now, we talked about Brahmana's nature. Brahmana means he has to accept the authority of the Vedam. Or Nashamama, Brahmana. Then Shamam, Damam, Tidiksha. And similarly, Jnanam, Vijnanam, Chandi, Arjavam, Jnana, Vijnanam, Astikyam, Brahma, Karma, Subhavajam, right? Then, so, a category like that is necessary in this world, is it not? You need people like this also in this world. And in Mahabharatam, Vedavyasa Maharshi talks about this issue, right? He says sometimes you can see Brahmanas in Kshatriyas also. Among Kshatriyas you can see Brahmanas, right? Similarly, you can see Brahmanas in Vaishyas also. And sometimes in Shudras also you can see Brahmanas, this nature. And similarly, in Brahmanas, you can see sometimes Kshatriyas. And you can see Vaishyas in the Brahmanas. And similarly, Shudras in the Brahmanas. So, it's not such a very straightforward and clear-cut decision made on that basis, right? So, in this way, back and forth, Brahmanas in Kshatriya, Kshatriyas in Brahmana, all these things you can see there, right? And he gives the example, Vidura is a Shudra. Right? But if you ask Vidura, is he Shudra? You can't answer that. He is not a Shudra, isn't he? By quality, he is not a Shudra. Because he is giving advice to so many great personalities. Vidura, he gave advice to Dhritarashtra and many other, Yudhishthira, and they were Kshatriyas. But Vidura, if you consider he is a Shudra, he was giving advice to him. So if you say, is he a Shudra? Can't say anything about it. Vedavyasa Maharshi, what is he? Right? And this is always an argument. He is a Rishi, right? But therefore you can't say anything. He is a Rishi. But his mother is coming from fisherman community. Satyavadi. Satyavadi is a fisherman community, like Amrutanandamayi's community. She comes from that. So Satyavadi is a fisherwoman, right? And Parashara Maharshi is a Brahmana, Rishi he was. So Brahmana and Satyavadi, from that Vedavyasa was born, right? If you ask in this way questions, there is no answer to all these things, right? So mainly what Krishna has spoken here is your internal qualities in a person, not birth. Internal qualities in a person, right? So, by birth alone there is no Brahmana, by birth alone there is no Kshatriya. But if you say like that, it is difficult to manage a society. When you say it is not based on birth, then also there is a problem. I'll tell you what that is, right? A Brahmana boy, Shastram says, he should have his Upanayanam ceremony by the age of 8, latest, by 8 of 8. 8 is the right appropriate age, they say. So Upanayanam has to be performed before that, and he has to start studying Vedam at that age, right? But if we don't take it based on birth, when will you decide that he is a Brahmana then? By the time you start finding it out, what he should study and what kind of education he should get based on his qualities. At the age of 9 and 8 you won't know. By the time of 25, 30 only, you will start realizing what his propensities are. Right? So, to wait till then to make a decision whether he should study Vedam or not is not practical. Right? Therefore, to observe him till then, it is not possible. So therefore they decided that, based on the birth, let us do it. At the age of 9, let him have his Upanayanam. Let him start study Vedam from then on. That is more practical approach. It's not. It is only for that reason they have done like that. But unfortunately, people don't analyze all these as practical aspects of life. Otherwise, only based on quality, if you say you will accept somebody as a Brahmana, you have to wait for a long period of time to in life to see that person's propensity. At the age of 8 and 9, you won't know. He's just a child, isn't it? So when he has to grow up, by then all your time is lost in life. So therefore, the wise thing to do is to, based on birth, you take them and train them for Upanayanam ceremony and the Vedic knowledge. You give them the study, the Vedam, everything. So that at least that group of people stay in this world. We don't lose them altogether, right? This is all spoken in a general terms, right? So when somebody is born like that, we are telling them that you have come in this parambara, you are born in this parambara, and you should remain as a Brahmana in the life, right? You should study Vedam. This is your Swadharmam, right? Otherwise, it is against the law, against the Vedam. In this way, you are convincing that child to stay in that Brahminical culture. Right? So, whereas if you wait to find out what his gunam is, and then we will decide in which category he should go to, by the time it is done, half his life is over, right? There will be tamasam, right? So gunam will only manifest at certain times in life, and that will take time, right? Take for example Dronacharya. Drona was a Brahmana by birth, wasn't it? But his qualities started coming out much later. He was a Kshatriya by nature. Dronacharya became a Kshatriya, nature was in him, right? And it came out in the Mahabharata war times. By the time it came out, he was grown up quite a lot. But by birth he was a Brahmana, but Kshatriya Swabhavam was inside. That is why he felt strongly against Drushtadyumna. And then he decided to join Duryodhana for these reasons only, right? All that is Kshatriya Swabhavam it is, right? Parashurama was born as a Brahmana, right? But you see what Parashurama has gone and done, right? And he has studied Vedam because he was born as a Brahmana, Javalagni's son, isn't it? Vishwamitra was born as a Kshatriya, but he wanted to become a Brahmana. And later on, Brahma told him, you are a Brahmana, and given the title Brahma Rishi, like that, right? So you can't change all these things, right? Vidura was like that, but the Brahmanyam in Vidura came out much later. Brahmanyam was there, birth was in Shudra, but the Brahmanyam in Vidura you could see, his bhakti towards Krishna, and the way he walked out of the Mahabharata war, went on the pilgrimage, all that is Brahminical nature. That he was searching for the truth. What is life for? So that higher value was in his mind. That's why he went on. He didn't want to get involved. After seeing all the Kshatriya's problems in Hastinapur, he decided to walk out from there. Is it not? And he went on this 36 years pilgrimage. And that itself is a Brahminical nature in him. Attracted to the knowledge and self-realization more than the bodily comforts, family comforts, and positions and things like that. Higher values in life, that is Brahmana. So that came out in Vidura much later in life, is it not? So you couldn't wait, but you can't say that whether he was a Shudra or a Brahmana. Fact is, by birth he was a Shudra, by qualities he was a Brahmana. That's the point, right? So, in this way, if you look at many, many great personalities, you will find this disparity there. It's very difficult to say whether they are. We have so many people like that in this situation, right? So realized souls have appeared in all different categories, right? Shudra, Vaishya, Kshatriya, Brahmana, and even Chandala. Among Chandalas, there are self-realized souls. And so therefore, actually because of this, what happened was, that a lot of people started criticizing Shankaracharya for this. That he is the one who has created these divisions in the society like that, and therefore they turned their gun against him for doing this. But people didn't have the understanding like he had about these things, right? You can see from the... And he was not against Chandalas or anything, because if you look into his... commentaries, many places you will find, right? In Brahma Sutra Bhashyam commentary, there is one sutram, Apashudra Adhikaranam, it is called, right? That sutram. And in that sutram, he has spoken things, and they quote that sutram's commentary and complain against him, right? And even people who have good knowledge, when they see his commentary on that particular sutram, Apashudradhikaranam, that is, that's what make them upset about it. And you know, this age now, what we are living now, everybody is for equality, isn't it? You see, all this started with the modern education. When the British introduced, they told them that, look, in your religion, you have got these divisions, lower classes, higher classes, look into our system. It's perfect. Everybody is equal. So naturally, it will attract whom? The coming from the lower status, right? And nobody treated them like that. It is just the way the education created this problem. And gradually, they were turned against them. And they are the ones started researching in the Shastram. And they are very particular to prove that everything is wrong in the Vedam. And these are the people who have taken up this crusade against the Vedam. In India, if you go, you will see people talking against the Vedam. And these are the people who talk against the Vedam. Nothing you can do about it, because they have not understood properly where it's coming from, right? So, but this Avashudradhikaranam, this Brahma Sutram, particular Brahma Sutram, the scholars have analyzed it very much. And they found out വാട്ട് ഈസ് അവൈലബിൾ ഇൻ ദി ബ്രഹ്മസൂത്ര ഭാഷ്യം, ആചാര്യസ്വാമിജിയുടെ ഭാഷ്യം, ഈസ് സംതിങ് വിച്ച് വാസ് ആഡഡ് ഓൺ ടു ഇറ്റ് ബൈ അതേഴ്സ്. സോ ഈവൻ ദർ ഈസ് എ പ്രോബ്ലം. ഹൗ ഡിഡ് യു ഫൈൻഡ് ദാറ്റ് ഔട്ട്? പൂർവം അപരം. ദേ ലുക്ക് അറ്റ് ദി കമന്ററി ബിഫോർ ആൻഡ് ദേ ലുക്ക് കമന്ററി ആഫ്റ്റർവേർഡ്സ്. And this one is not in agreement with the previous ones or with the later ones. So they are saying that the Apashudradhikaranam Sutram commentary on that, Acharya Swamiji's commentary, is Prakshiptam. Prakshiptam means something that was added on by somebody else, right? So that is also, these are all discussions going on all the time. But if you look at Manisha Panchakam, which we have discussed before in one instance, right? You will see there what he said, the verse he says, he says there that all five verses in that, so five verses, Manisha Panchakam, he's saying, you remember what happened in Kashi? Lord Shiva came with the four dogs in the dress of a chandala, and they told him to Lord Shiva, move away from the walking route. Acharya Swami said, Brahma is coming, give him the way, he said. Chandala won't give way. And there is a discussion between Lord Shiva and Shankaracharya, and that is this Manisha Panchakam, which we discussed, right? So here he is saying here, if you look at the second verse, ബ്രഹ്മൈവാഹമിതം ജഗത്സ ചകലം ചിന്മാത്ര വിസ്താരിതം സർവം ചെയ്തത് അവിദ്യയാ ത്രിഗുണയാ ശേഷം മയാ കൽപ്പിതം ഇത്ഥം യസ് ദൃഢാമതി സുഖതരേ നിത്യേ പരേ നിർമ്മലേ ചണ്ടാളോസ്തു സതു ദ്വിജോസ്തു ഗുരു ഇത്യേഷ മനീഷ മമ. ഹി സെഡ് ഈവൻ ഇഫ് ഹി ഈസ് എ ചണ്ടാള, ഇഫ് ഹി ഹാസ് ദിസ് റിയലൈസേഷൻ, ഹി ഈസ് മൈ ഗുരു. നൗ ഇഫ് ആചാര്യസ്വാമി ആർഡ് അഗെയിൻസ്റ്റ് ദം എനിത്തിങ്, ഹി വുണ്ട് ഹവ് സ്പോക്കൺ ദാറ്റ് വേ. In his state of consciousness, he won't mislead people. He says, every verse, all five verses, finishes like that. Chandalostu sadudvijostu gururityesha manisha mama. Right? He says, whether he is a chandala or a brahmana, it doesn't matter, he is my guru. That's how he said. So in other words, he gave importance to self-realization. A jnani, a realized soul, is more important than whether you are a chandala or whether you are a brahmana. Right? So that they won't look at it. They will abuse, they will find fault with him, saying that he is responsible for this division in the society, and this, that he created this Varnashrama Dharma. All complaints against him about this, right? And if you want to abuse someone, you can find always something to abuse him, right? Not only in one place, in so many other places also. In Viveka Chudamani, if you read carefully, you will find some of his statements, right? So, we'll discuss that tomorrow. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.
Srila Prabhupada.